You will, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Recently, we've looked at King Nebuchadnezzar, how the Lord brought him down, did a work in him. Looked at King Uzziah, was lifted up in pride, and the Lord touched him. Looked at King Ahab. Elijah come to him with a message, and it ended up destroying 850 of his prophets. Took all day long, just so Elijah could preach to him, tell him who Christ was. Today we're going to look at General Naaman. It's easily thought as a king, this was a general. He's the head general over all the Syrian army. In Syria, the right-hand man to the king, is a great and mighty general. And I was just thinking, if someone's never heard about Naaman, I get to tell them. That's something precious. If you've never heard this, I get to tell you. And if you've heard this and heard this and heard this, oh, that we could get to hear it like we've never heard it before. Wouldn't that be something? Hear it with fresh ears, brand new ears. Here in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith set Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" No one can do that but God. No one can. You know better. A child knows that. "Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." I think I'm set up. This is so ridiculous. I think they're just picking at me and they're trying to start a war. This is ludicrous. Verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent unto the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean,'" then he went down. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. We know the story is a true story. Did you know that? I have proof this is a true story. It's authentic. I know it's genuine because my Lord referred to it in Luke chapter 4. The Lord Jesus went down to Nazareth to preach, to declare the sovereign mercy of God. And he said to those legalists, those Sabbath-keeping ceremonial Israelites, he said, there were many widows in the land of Israel in the day of the prophet, and God did not feed any of them. He fed a Gentile. What an insult to them, huh? But he went on, and he said, and there were many lepers in the land of Israel in the days of Elisha, and God didn't heal any of them. He healed Naaman, a Gentile. The Lord Jesus Christ used this message right here himself. This very story. So it's authentic. This is real. This happened. We ought to pay attention. I also know that this is not to instruct lepers to go to the River Jordan to be healed of leprosy. You can go wade in that water if you want to. That water ain't going to do you no good. I know that. I know a leper can't be healed by dipping 7 times in that river. The River Jordan doesn't have any power to cure leprosy. None whatsoever. But I know this. Naaman could never have been healed of his leprosy if he hadn't gone into that River Jordan. He must go down. He had to. So who was this Naaman? This Naaman character. He was a vessel of honor before time. This was one of God's sheep, one of His children, put in Christ before the world ever was. The Father purposed to save Naaman, put him in Christ. Christ became his surety. He was plumb saved. He's just waiting on the Holy Spirit to come to him, tell him about it, to announce it in his heart. Let him rejoice. Let him see for the first time. Let him hear for the first time. That's who this Naaman was. Didn't look like it, did he? I didn't either. And I don't now. How sad, isn't it? He was a vessel of honor, though. But he hadn't been made to bow to Christ yet. Didn't know who he was. Can't bow to somebody you don't know. And he wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. God had used this pagan Gentile general to bring deliverance to Syria, to bless a nation. Look here, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor and war. But he was a leper. He was a great man. He had so many accolades. Honorable. Mighty. Mighty man in valor. A good general. But he was a leper. That's every one of us. That's me, you, and everybody. There appear to be some honorable qualities, don't there? You got a job. Oh, they're a firefighter. They're a police officer. They're in the military. They help people. That's a good thing, isn't it? They're a mommy and a daddy. They have children. Oh, they're a good husband. They're a good wife. They're a good brother. Oh, it's a sweet sister. So kind of their sister. And they work hard at it too, don't they? Workers and friends and teachers. But every one of us have a disease. We may have a lot of good things on the outside looking good. We have a disease. It's called sin. Plagues every man born of Adam. Sin. We can be as upstanding and as moral outwardly as you want to be, and you're a leper. You're a leper. Something's going to have to change for Naaman and for us. If the Lord's going to save somebody, he's going to have to be made to see he is a leper who happens to be mighty and honorable and all these other things. He thinks he's all those things, and I just happen to be, that's a little bit tacked on to the end. I'm a little bit of a leper. No, no, you ain't nothing but a leper. The Lord just happened to give you an office, happened to give you a job, happened to give you something, and He blessed it. The baseline's a leper. Leprosy, this outward disease, it's always been a picture and a type of sin in the Scriptures. That's what we are by nature. We try to cover it up. We try to put our uniforms over it, put our medals over it, put our big old hats, cover it up. Don't let nobody see it. We try to mask it with cologne, perfumes. Oh, don't want to smell. Don't want to smell. You know, if you forget to put deodorant on today, the only person that doesn't offend is you. It ain't nowhere near as bad to you as it is anybody else, right? I don't stink that bad. That's us. Try to cover it up. Each of us are plagued in our natural bodies with sin, and it's incurable. And it starts out small, doesn't it? It's just one little spot. Oh, and it grows. It's internal. And it grows to the outside until it covers us. Nothing we can do about it. We can't fix ourselves, and no other man can help us. Scripture says there's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Your sins have separated you from God. It's separated me from God. Lepers, in themselves, they have no hope and they have no ability. But God is able. But God. How is it that this mighty man who appears to be a leper, who happens to be a leper, is going to be made whole? How's that going to happen? He's going to have to go down. Down. He's going to have to be humbled. He's going to have to willfully repent, willfully and earnestly beg for mercy. Nebuchadnezzar said, God is able to abase the proud. What made him say that? He knew it. He was proud and he was abased. That could just be forced submission. What about this general willingly submitting? How do we know it's going to be willing? The Lord said, my people will be made willing in the day of my power. Willing. How will Naaman learn these things? How is anybody going to learn these things? Someone has to tell you where the Lord is preached in truth. You have to be sent to His messenger, to His prophet, His preacher, and then they have to preach to you. That's how it works. Nothing was different for Naaman. Naaman and any other sinner saved by God's grace is going to have to be pointed to Christ. Is that a fancy job? Being the one to point them? Is that for distinguished believers only? God used an unnamed little servant girl. Look here in verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. Probably some 13-year-old girl. Young little servant, little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She was her help around the house. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She didn't know Elisha, but she knew of him. She knew that was God's prophet. And she told her mistress, that fellow servant, that was back there washing dishes, folding clothes. Oh, that's when we pray. Maybe not you. That's when you lay your heart and cast all your cares on Christ when somebody's folding clothes. When you're washing dishes. And you say, my Lord, wash me. Crying, going out to check a mailbox. They were back there and she told that fellow servant of hers, she says, if it pleases God. Oh, she knows something, don't she? If it pleases God, Naaman could be recovered. This one that the Lord put over me, he could be recovered. He's going to have to be under the gospel, and the Lord's going to have to be pleased to do it. But that's his only hope. Oh, and that's a sure hope. That's not wishy. that's an expected end. She knew. She knew. I don't know much, but I know what. You got any hope, it's going to be in Christ. You got to come to it. That ain't complicated. That ain't complex. You got to come to him. And there's an expected outcome. That will be mercy. Mercy. I know it. I've been there. I've walked that road, ain't I? And it says, therefore he would. For he would. This prophet's willing to show mercy. This prophet's willing to help in time of need. It says in verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in. Somebody heard this. And told his Lord, told Naaman, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. This little maid girl, this little Israelite you got in here, here's what she said. I heard this, and I'm telling you what I heard. This word was sent to Naaman, and he was with the king. King of Syria. They might have been planning their next battle. They might have been organizing some training for them troops or figuring out how they're going to feed them. But here comes this servant with good news. Good tidings were published. There's hope in Israel. There's a prophet. God's got a man down here. It says in verse 5, and the king of Syria heard this. Naaman heard it. King of Syria sitting right next to him. He heard it. And he said, Go. I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. A king heard this and he said, you better go. You better go. Go right now. But old Naaman took with him all these things. He's starting out wrong, isn't he? He started taking silver and gold and fine clothes, these changes of raiment, all to trade for healing. You can't buy the remission of sins. Can't be purchased. You can't buy God's preacher. You can't buy His prophet. That message He gives, it's the fire that burns in their bones and it can't stop. You ain't going to change them. It must come out because the Lord sustains them. The Lord hedges them about. Same with all His sheep. One ain't different from another. You can't hear blasphemies and lies on your God. That's my God. I don't think I'm a hateful, mean-natured person, but all of a sudden I'm getting pretty upset. Ain't I? Like, Peter, I'm going to lop somebody's ear off. It says, Peter told us, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, our ideas. Man, there's a way in his heart that he thinks right. It ain't the way of the Lord. But with the precious blood of Christ, that's what redeems people. That's how somebody can be redeemed. How's a leper going to be cleansed? It's going to take the blood of Christ to do it. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Naaman was trying to bring gold. He's trying to bring silver. He's trying to cover up his good works. Oh, I'm going to put this robe on. I'm going to dress up. If people don't know me, they won't know the difference. I can cover these things. Naaman wanted to be healed. He knew he was a leper. He knew what was wrong with him. But he brought the wrong payment and he went to the wrong person. He went to the wrong person. Look at verse 6. 2 Kings 5 verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. He didn't go to his prophet. Went to King Israel. Saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of the leprosy? He was going to the king. When we go to a king, it ain't going to help. He had to go to a prophet. He had to go to the Lord's man. Now, Elisha was not the prophet. He typified the prophet. He was God's prophet. He was the prophet in that day. But he wasn't the prophet. The one that could do something. Moses said, God will raise up that prophet. And him you shall hear. That's going to happen. And he shall speak my words. And everyone that hears my prophet will be blessed. And those that will not hear my prophet, I will require of them. What a frightening thing. Who is that prophet that Moses spoke of? Christ is that prophet. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king. He is that prophet. Scriptures say, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. That's our prophet. That's the needed one. Naaman went to the wrong place. He didn't go to the prophet. And we today, men and women, all over this nation, all over this world, they're going to the wrong place. They're going to the wrong person and they're going with the wrong payment. And nothing was said to Naaman about going to the king of Israel, was it? Did that servant girl say, you go to the king of Israel? The Syrian king just said, I'm writing a letter. Maybe that's like a passport. He didn't say, you go up there. He said, I'm going to write a letter for you. Give you safe travels in that country. No one told him to do that. And nothing said to us in these scriptures. Nowhere does it tell us about going to the front of the church, about going to the altar, about going to Mary for salvation, for help, about going to the law for salvation, for help, going to the baptismal pool, or going to the sacraments, or going to the preacher. It says you go to Christ. You go to Him, the prophet. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. We go to Him. That's what our scriptures tell us. That's what our Lord tells us. The word got to Elijah. It says there in verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, Christ is the God-man. Elisha was God's man. The man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes. He said unto the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Why are you worried about this? This ain't your business. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. He's going to learn right quick, you ain't what he needs. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. That's like in our day, rolling up with a Bentley or a stretch limo. That's best. That was one chariot with multiple horses. He showed up with some flair, and he stood in the door of Elisha, of God's prophet. You just think about that. I don't think Elisha had a pretty fancy house. It was probably something simple. Small place. Not much things in it. Simple. Maybe it's just a drape over the door. And here comes this great general. The Syrian general. On his chariots and his horses. And just does a Superman pose right in front of his door. Waiting for him. He's finally in the right place. He's finally in the presence of the right person. But his attitude was wrong. He was standing at the door. This general stood at the door, and he wanted to be treated like a great warrior who just happened to be a leper. Reality was, he was a leper who happened to be a great warrior. Elijah knew this pride. He knew his arrogance, and he wouldn't come out to meet him. He wasn't going to cater to him. And so he sent his servant out. You know it wasn't a big building. It's small in this room, probably. You get up, walk over there. Probably reach it. He sent his servant to this great and mighty general. You talk about a valiant thing. The Lord's prophets go against these kings and these mighty men of war, and just they don't even get up out of their easy chair. Hey, you go talk to them. Elijah knew his pride. He knew the man's problem. He knew that man needed to be broken. That's what he needed. He wants his leprosy cured. He needs to be broken in the heart. That's what's needful. There's one thing needful. Mercy is at the feet of Christ. That's where an adulterous woman fell. And she kissed his feet and bathed him with tears. Wiped his feet off with her hair. Mercy is found at the feet of Christ. And that's where humble sinners fall. We come to him. And that's where mercy can be found. And this proud, arrogant general had to be brought down. Down. And you and I, we have to be brought all the way down to Christ's feet. The only way you can look up to Him is to be below Him. We have to be brought down to Him. And that way, He gets all the glory. He gets all preeminence. He gets all praise. All thanks go to Him. That's where we have to be. It says in verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger out to him saying, here's a 20-word sermon by an unnamed servant. Who was this man? I don't know. Who was that little girl? I don't know. Don't matter, does it? He said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That's it. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought, notice those commas there, behold, comma, I thought, comma, there's a problem. Every time I get in trouble, I had a good idea. That's worldly and anything else. If I start dreaming something up, it's rough. He said, behold, I thought. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God. It's sort of like coming in to get his oil changed, isn't it? That's what you do for a living. I'm just here to get what I want and get out of here. That's his God. And strike his hand over the place. He can come out and touch me and recover the leper. That's modern religion, isn't it? They chase people out in parking lots. Oh, don't go. Oh, what you doing? Here's this big general that just come to town. Oh, man, you got a lot of power and pull and fame. Oh, we could pack seats. Oh, you got a bunch of money and stuff. This would really help us grow our church, wouldn't it? Doesn't that just make logical sense? No, this must, Lord sent him here. He must be here. Let's roll out the red carpet. All those people left the Lord. Did he say, oh, please stay? He said, you going to go too? Peter, to whom? To whom? Not to what? Not to where? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We're standing right here with you. You are life. If the president was to come, if the Queen of England was to come, if the mightiest person we could think of in our minds and our age was to come to hear from God, to find mercy, you know what they're going to have to do? They're going to have to sit in a pew. They're going to be saved. They're going to have to sit in a pew and have some sinner stand up here and tell them who God is. That's the means he's chose. And they're going to have to take their rightful place bowing to Christ, just like anybody else. Ain't no difference, is there? But he was mad. He says in verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all these waters of Israel? Back home, we got rivers and they're cleaner than this river. May I not wash in them, be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Oh, he was so mad. I come all the way down here to Israel, and you want me to get in this dirty river Jordan? You want me to go to a church where there's sinners that ain't getting better every week? Oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm in a rage. All these other churches. Look how many churches there are close to home. That's right down the road. They got bushes out front. They got steeples and they got stained glass windows and it's clean and they got lots of seats and air conditioning. Why would they got a guy stands up there behind a podium with a Bible and says words out of it? Why would I go somewhere else? Some nasty old river. He went away in a rage. I'm going to go down there to that other place. They don't call me a sinner. I happen to be a little bit of a leper. They don't tell me about it. They just put some makeup on it. Try to cut it off. The Lord's going to use another unnamed servant to reason with Naaman. Isn't that nice? The Lord says, come, let us reason together. Look, do you think of the condescension to that? You don't reason with God. That's the He commands and we do. But in love, I mean in tenderness, He comes to the hearts of His people and says, just as a child. He'll come in screaming and kicking things and thundering. He comes in power, but He says, come, let's reason together. Come, sit down. I'm going to talk to you. Job's tender, long-suffering, meek to the hearts of His people. It says in verse 13, and His servants came near and spake unto Him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. You just go get in the creek. It's right there. Look and live. Believe on Christ. If I told somebody, all you have to do to be saved is go out and rotate my tires, they'd rotate every tire of every car in that parking lot, wouldn't they? They'd change all the for good measure. If I said, you got to build a building. You have to build a church. I got two cinder blocks at the house I know of. We can dig up some more. How many cinder blocks you got? We'll get this thing done by next week, won't we? You got to conquer a large city. You got to save up a lot of money. You'd have done that, Naaman. But what did they tell you? Humble yourself and believe God. Humble yourself and believe God. And you know what? That mighty man who was just in a fit, just in a rage and so mad he could just spit nails. The Lord made him willing. Look here in verse 14. And he went down. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came out like unto the flesh of a little child. He had the obedience of a little child. He had the submission of a little child. What do I got to do? Go get in that water. Humble yourself before God. Believe on Him. Okay. Yes, sir. We'll go right now. And his flesh was like a little child, and he was clean. You know what happened for him to go wash in that river? He had to be stripped. All his medals, you got to take him off. You got a big fancy hat with feathers all in, take it off. Can't have it. You got a robe hiding that leprosy, you got to get naked. You have to be fully exposed, not partially exposed, not committing a little bit, not repenting a little bit, and not being a little bit convicted of sin, fully. Take it off. All your robes of righteousness, all your works, nothing. No robes, no pomp, no circumstance. You just come here and you plunge. Plunge in the river. Plunge in the water. You put your whole self in it. God saved that leper. He come out of that water and he believed God. He knew God and he believed God. There's one God in Israel. Look at verse 15. Here's where he went. Where did he go after the Lord did this? He come out of water, spanned the leper for years. He went to the closest believer he could find. Look at verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." There's a God of his people, his spiritual Israel. And my God is the God. I know him now. Didn't know him before. He knew me. Oh, but I know him now. "Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." He went straight to the Lord's house, to his people, his body, his church, and he says, "I want to give a blessing of this old servant." Here's this great general saying, "I'm a servant. I'm a minister. And I'm going to give you, I got a whole boatload of gold and silver and fancy clothes. You can take them down and sell them at the market. Whatever you, what do you need, Elisha? You're in this little shack. We can fix this place up. That gold means nothing to me. I know the Lord. That silver means nothing. All them raiments I have, all them fancy suits, whatever, it means nothing. You take it. You use it. Lord gave it to me. Lord, take it away. And if you need it, it's yours. You take it." It says in verse 16, "But he said, Elisha said to him, 'As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elijah said, 'I don't want you offering. My brother, my family, you was mad at me earlier. You was in a rage. Boy, something happened real quick, didn't it? Now we're family. Now we love one another.' And he said, 'I'm just thankful the Lord worked in you. You know what my payment was? I got to watch it. I got to watch God work in the heart of a sinner. Oh, what? I don't need no gold. That shack's just fine. I got water and I got a little bit of bread. I don't need nothing.' He told him in verse 19. And he said unto him, 'Go in peace.' So he departed from him a little way." This work of humbling and converting sinners. How God saves sinners. It's bringing down. There's a stripping. A man that's never been lost has never been found. A man who's never been stripped has never been clothed by God. A man who's never been dead has never been raised. And a man who's never been blind never had their sight restored. That's what comes first. This has got to take place in the heart of this proud general for him to know God, to know who he is. And it has to take place in every sinner that God redeems. What does the scripture say? God resisteth the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Is he going to be willing that his children should perish in their pride? Oh no, he's able to abase, as Nebuchadnezzar said. He knows just how to do it. He said in Isaiah 45, "I have sworn by myself, the words has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, it shall not return unto me void. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord." And that's going to happen as we looked recently. That's either going to be a forced submission, every knee is going to bow. It'll be after this life's over. It's going to happen. Or it's going to be a willing submission that's the workmanship of God in the hearts of his people. If we willingly, you know who he is and you know what you are. Boy, I'll bow right now. I've been happy to. I'll be servant. Just like that big general. Take a blessing from your servant. What's the difference in those two? That forced submission and that willing submission. It's the attitude What stems the attitude? The heart. If we've been born again, if we've had that flesh of a little child put in us, now we're humble, now we're meek, now we're lowly. Why? Because we're like our Lord that's meek and lowly and long-suffering. This has to take place. You see, if you miss conviction of sin, you have no repentance. If you don't have any repentance, if you miss repentance, then you don't have faith of someone that can forgive. And if you don't have faith, you don't have Christ. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have life. That's it. He's got to bring us down. We must be brought off our lofty, prideful feet of standing before the God and bow to Him, worshiping Him, casting all of our crowns, all of our fancy medals, everything we've ever done to Him. And you know what happens when we do that? We stand up like a little baby, brand new skin, newborn. Because there's a new birth. That's what takes place. That's how the Lord does it. I hope that's a blessing to you.